what could this mean? What could that mean? And like cancer and heart disease seems to be like somewhere on the list for virtually every symptom that you could like have.
Yeah.
At least like they were there for that. And I was like, oh boy.
Yeah. Ay, ay, ay.
But I'm sure it's nothing. Invulnerable. I don't think I have to worry.
Welcome to AE Double Back for Wednesday, December 6th, 2023. We're all gonna die.
Yeah.
All of us.
Ding,
Especially
ding,
us,
ding,
though,
ding.
because we are very old and
Yeah,
far in our
and we have
prime.
I'm pretty dusty.
And we have a pact, like between the three of us, that we don't need to go into too much detail on.
No, it's less of a pact and more of a tontine.
Yeah.
Isn't there supposed to
Whoever
be a prize for a tontine?
Yes. Yeah. Whoever dies last gets all of the proceeds of this podcast.
It's all the gold that Grandpa and his soldiers' buddies stole from the Nazis, whom the Nazis also stole. So,
Right. So basically, we are
technically.
taking Jewish blood money by winning this tontine.
Yeah, it's like,
Hope
hey,
you feel good about
I know.
yourself.
It's like, Grandpa? Grandpa Simpson? That's a no-no.
Well, he gets punished properly for his participation by being thrown away and forgotten in the retirement home.
That's true.
Thank goodness for that.
Very true. By the time I'm that old, I think retirement homes will be everywhere and they will be way different.
You think they're going to be good?
Why?
Because there's more millennials than there are boomers.
Uh-huh.
So, and millennials aren't having kids, so there's going to need to have some sort of shift in how that whole system works. There's going to be a lot of old people with nobody looking after them, so it's going to be, necessary, right?
I mean, necessary-ish. Like, we'll need them, but are we going to get them? Or are we just going to shove them all into warehouses and say, peace out?
We're
I
going to
mean,
send
we're talking
everybody
about
off on an ice
ourselves
floe.
here, so
Yeah,
I'm
and I,
not
yeah.
gonna. Yeah.
100% expect my child to be like, you had your time, old man. Now it is time for the new generation.
There's not enough resources. Everyone, onto the ice float.
Yes.
You're breathing all my oxygen, old man.
Any hoodle. Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Wrestling. So said by some to be dying, like so many old
Yeah.
people on an ice floe, we
Yeah.
find it to be thriving.
Yes. Thriving.
We do. I was I guested on a podcast. The episode hasn't come out yet, but they sort of asked me like what I thought of AEW, like why I watch it, and it's kind of an interesting exercise. Sort of like wrap your head around like what is it about this thing that we do that we like to do and watch and
I
why.
mean, it's a soap opera with it's like the if the Olympics and Days of Our Lives had a child, right? It's drama, it's humor, it's extreme physical endurance and, aptitude and you know what I mean? It's like this incredible fucking thing that takes ex a lot of skill.
But also, why AEW instead of, say, WWE?
Well, because we don't like Vince McMahon, number one.
But Vince is gone, theoretically.
Technically, he isn't.
Yeah,
But we switched because of Vince,
Yeah.
because of what was going on at the time. And AEW is just more entertaining.
Switch for the Vince, stay for the wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just more entertaining. Like, I remember being so, so bored with WWE. I remember being angry sometimes.
Yeah.
I remember just sitting around. I mean, these episodes seemed so fucking long.
Well, and 3 hours. Significantly longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 hours with way less wrestling. So it just feels like way, way, way longer. And then you're dealing with dumb stuff like the whole Rusev and Bobby Lashley and that whole thing.
Thank
that
heavens
was very
we don't
annoying.
Need to deal with Rusev and Lana anymore.
Like, I don't mind Rusev and Lana, you know, now. At the time, I couldn't stand Lana and Bobby Lashley. I couldn't stand them.
That was, yeah.
I mean, I like Bobby Lashley, but I just didn't like what was going on with all this.
I'll say this. I hated that that whole storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It did real well. And we know the person who wrote that or who was the primary.
You do?
Runner. Yes. She does comedy here in Los Angeles.
Snap.
Mm-hmm. And like that's one of those things where like I did not like it, but it was clearly working.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They got a lot of episodes out of that.
Yeah, yeah. Be really interesting to see what they do with it now.
But that all of that being said, it's just AEW was such a breath of fresh air. Way more wrestling, way more interesting characters. Nothing seemed like stoically scripted. So much about it was great. And you got to see a lot of different body types, which you don't get in WWE.
Yeah.
You know, they have different body types, but they're really only within a certain range.
Yeah.
And I think it was also really exciting to like be sort of in on the ground floor of something from the beginning.
That's true.
When you watch something like WWE, there's a definite like awareness of like an infinite line stretching backwards that has a lot of context that you may or may not like possess, and you're just never gonna. I mean, I don't know what they have on Peacock as far as the backlog they on the WWE network. They used to have, I think, pretty much everything.
They've got a lot of stuff.
Realistically.
But also, yeah, like you, even if you watched every, you know, everything you could, you know, like you're talking about like weekly television going back decades.
Yeah. And so it is kind of neat. As you were saying, caller, to start with something where you know the beginning of every storyline. So you can kind of grow with these characters. So then when they talk about something, you're like, oh, I remember that. I was there for that.
I wonder if that's how a lot of people feel about it. Because one of the guys I was on the podcast with does not care for AEW. And I found myself instantly sort of like defending, even though like that's not my job. Right. But you know, you're like, I don't care for Orange Cassidy. I'm like, well, yeah, but this and this, and here's why you should appreciate him. And he's like, yeah, I just don't. And I was like, okay, right. This I don't need to convince him. That's I don't have any of my personality tied up necessarily in AEW success, which is where you get, you know, the problem with a lot of people online. Everybody thinks that like, if WWE succeeds, I am a success. No, that's not how things work. But yeah, it is interesting because like some people, it just doesn't click with some people.
Yeah.
And
I remember not clicking with Orange Cassidy in the beginning, but the more I watched it, the more examples I was given of this character, the better and better it got for me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this guy's fucking brilliant. Anyway.
Anyway.
So now that we've finished our class, let's all go home and do a podcast on AEW, the one that we watched tonight. Okay.
I like it.
Okay. We got Mox versus Rouge.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love Rouge. Now, this is going to sound weird, so just follow me for a second.
Okay.
Okay. His entrance isn't crazy, right? He just has such an incredible presence that... It is still very incredible. Now, I say that even though also there's a shitload of lights and flames and all this stuff. So it is like a big entrance, but him, he just walks, you know, and just like stands and like presents himself. It's like fucking powerful. I mean, you know, there are other crazier entrances, you know what I mean?
I do know.
So, yeah.
Interestingly, my 6-year-old kid watched this match with me. He was home, I was home, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start watching and see what he thinks about it.
You say that, you sound more like roommates than a father and son.
I know, he was home, I was home. You know, it just happened.
he's played the AEW video game a couple times.
Okay.
And instantly he was like, Darby Allin, that's my guy. I love Darby Allin. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. Sadly, there was no Darby today. Right. But also, we just watched the first match. His takeaway basically was like, why is there fire? To your point about the entrances, like, what? And I was hard pressed to have an answer for him. Like, well, because fireworks are awesome. I don't know, man.
Yeah. That's a good answer.
Roosh looks like Maui from.
He does, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I calls him Mr. Maui.
All right, there we go.
From Moana. He thinks Mox just looks like a normal guy. Doesn't understand why he's there. So I explained to him, well, you know, he looks normal, but he's a tough guy. And
show him one of the bloody matches.
Yeah. Right? He bites
not ready
heads.
For that yet. And that, so like he just got a little bit taste of that. He started losing interest, but he was, you know, for a little while there, he was like, oh, huh. There's a lot of, why is that guy doing that? And it was, I mean, he's punching him. Well, why is he doing that? Well, he's kicking him. Why is he doing that? I mean, they're trying to hurt each other. What more do you want?
Yeah.
Getting impatient with your son for not understanding the basic like aggression violence and conflict in the world.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. He understands it very well. The reason why he was there tonight is because he was not allowed to go to aftercare today because he shoved a kid. So he understands it.
Oh my gosh.
We're just trying to work on impulse kids control now.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Egon's perspective, in case you were curious.
Gotcha. Very.
I thought this was good.
Right.
It was a great match. This is one of the tournament matches. What bugs me is that I want Roosh to move forward more. Yeah. More. I want more. So I'm not exactly sure where this lands him at this point. Because he did not win. Mox won.
The nice thing about it, and you know, we sort of see it as this tournament progresses, and they the announcers kind of like talk about, you know, like, oh yeah, this guy, he may be eliminated from winning, but that doesn't mean that he stops wrestling in the contest. He keeps going and you still see him, and at that point it's just a matter of like having a good showing. And I think that even the losers, and sometimes especially the losers of this tournament, we're going to get to see them like wrestle and be like, oh my god, this guy, I didn't realize he was like actually this good in the ring. And you know, they're going to walk out of it bigger than they were before.
Yeah, I thought that was something that was very notable, like about the commentary, was how careful they were to try to pump people up who they wanted to be boosted, like that even if they were losing, that very thing, that they were still like somebody to contend with.
Yeah. Do you guys have thoughts on this match?
Not especially. I mean, I thought it was really good. I do think, yeah, every time I see Roosh, I feel like I'm hearing the audience starting to really get behind him, even though everyone was, or the majority of the audience was for Mox. Like, I get a sense that he is headed towards, a bigger push, a face turn. I don't know what, but people are, you know, like really starting to get behind him, as am I.
It was a good match. I thought it was an interestingly restrained match, like particularly for Moxley. Like, I don't know if that's something that has been consistent for these tournament matches. But like they went out of the ring, they went among the crowd some, but like there wasn't any blood, and there wasn't like some of the extremes that we could sometimes see. So I just thought that was interesting. It felt like it was a fairly pure match.
Yeah, and in that sense, it was refreshing for a Mox match. I just, you know, just kind of, as much as it sounds crazy, but the over-the-top bloody matches, I'm just getting tired of it. When it's other people, at least it's someone else doing something they don't normally do. I don't know why I'm having this moment with Mox right now. I'm just kind of, and he's not bad. He's doing nothing wrong at all. He's an amazing wrestler. Everything is great. I guess I'm just a little, I just want to see something different right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all have those cycles. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to need Moxley in your life every day.
Yeah. But I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
We've got Roderick. And he's talking to Renee. And he's talking about Samoa Joe. He's talking about MJF. Oh, wait,
wasn't there, there was a promo for the Jay Lethal and Jay White match before this.
Oh, sorry.
Was there?
I don't know if we need to talk about it.
Was it just recap stuff, or did they actually, I don't remember them actually cutting any promos.
I think it was just like highlight stuff.
Oh.
Let it go. We know it was there.
We've got, so Roderick basically saying, you know, blah, 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 this, and he's like, this wheelchair's held me back, and he throws it away, he can walk now. And it looked like he forgot what it is he was going to say, because then he just repeats, you know, it held me back for too long. And I'm like, what were you supposed to say? Because that's a real lame way to end this. But yeah. What'd you think about it?
It was really, it was pretty funny watching the Kingdom like react as though they'd seen a miracle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it, but also it was too long. Mm. Like I feel like they should have got, you know what? I don't know. Cause I kind of, on one hand, I wanted the wheelchair thing to be done a long time ago.
Yes.
It was just something, you know, that just, they sort of stumbled into and they got a lot of mileage out of it. I was kind of tired of it, but also like they kept coming up with funny stuff. Like Next Strong is so funny, and you know, we would have had that otherwise. Mm-hmm. But also like this felt like it should have been shorter, or it should have happened, you know, weeks ago. So I'm kind of on the fence, and I want to middle it, cause I liked it, but also I was like, it's a little too late.
Also, did we all up the first one? I don't know if we thumbed it.
I did.
I did too.
We did.
Okay. Just making sure. Yeah, I middled this. Same reasons. Like, they could have done this a while ago. I'm sure they have their reasons why they didn't, but I'm glad they did it now, because if it went one more week, I would have started showing up at people's doors and been like, excuse me.
Home invasion? Are you gonna pull a swerve?
Yep.
No, she's going to adhere to vampire rules.
I would, I would shake Tony Khan awake in his little bed, and I'd say, hey, knock it off with this.
Why do you think Tony has a little bed?
I'm going to assume he has
He's got a race car bed.
Wow. You know, it can be a race car bed and be large.
He's got a race car bed, and he's starting his singing career. Can I borrow a feeling?
I wonder if you can get at least like a California King sized race car bed.
I'm sure you could. It'd be custom built though.
If you're rough.
In California, you absolutely can get something like that.
They used to call me California King in high school.
Really?
No.
Oh.
I wish they did though. That'd be pretty sweet.
That would be your wrestler name?
Yep.
California King.
Stone Cold California King.
California King Snake.
What did we thumb this?
You guys middled it. I middle it as well. I think that it was definitely good to know that it was going to be out of the wheelchair going forward. I think I wanted it to be even more dramatic, like the neck brace comes off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what else we have. Hangman Adam Page. Okay, so Renee is about to go into MJF's locker room and talk to him, but Hangman Adam Page walks by and he's like, "Oh, hey, let's chat for a sec." Blah blah blah. Then the camera pans out a little bit, and MJF's sitting there, all smiles, and then they start beefing with each other, and it's awesome. It goes so above and beyond what you think it's going to go. Just back and forth, like just barbs, arrows, knives, just nuclear bombs.
Oh, my.
And MJF is like, "You want me to be really honest with you?" And I was like, "Oh, don't do it. You'll fucking hurt his feelings and he'll never come back from it."
But also, then, it was kind of a real fun way to like remind us, you know, like you're saying about like, you know, not everybody is there from day one, mm-hmm. that like, "Oh, right, we did this and there's still history." And like, "Oh, right, this too." And, you know, like present to you, like, "Oh yeah, so there, this stuff happened in a fun way." So we don't feel like we're just being like, "And then in 2021,
mm-hmm. Is that supposed to be like a boring droning voice? Because it sounds all cool and bassy.
You know what? I can't help myself. I can't help being this cool.
Well, Samoa Joe breaks it up because it's about to turn into a fight. And MJF, one of the things that was really funny that he said, he was like, Hangman on a page says something like, "Is there something you want to say to me?" And he's like, "Funny, you ask." Just the way he said it, I was like, "Oh my god,
yeah,
how do you make every fucking segment sizzle, pop, explode in goodness every time?" Is
fantastic.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Paige did fine, but MJF can still run circles around him.
Yeah,
like they were basically doing the same thing, like, "Hey, you remember when I beat you? Hey, remember when I beat you?" Mm-hmm. But like MJF just makes it sound so much more cutting.
Yeah. He's just got so much personality.
Yeah. If only he was doing it while eating the pickles at the same time.
Oh, dude.
Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thumbs up. Samoa Joe is in such a weird place too, where his like he's like being daddy, sort of. You know, because I mean, maybe I say that because my kid had to go home early from school today, and I felt like all I'm doing is like trying to like explain to him why we don't, you know, shove other kids in the hallways. Like Samoa's there just like, hey, no fighting. Hey, boys, come on, we got things to do. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, it's funny, but I love it. Thumbs up.
That's great.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
We got Mark Briscoe versus Swerve.
Bow, bow, bow.
Give every city the opportunity to dance with Nana. Everybody needs that joy.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this could descend to Judas levels.
Here's hoping. Yeah.
I would imagine. I mean, how could it not? Nana, what's stifling right now is that Nana can't enter the ring with Swerve because of this tournament. So this is the stifling thing. Otherwise, yeah, people would be dancing. it's like you don't want to do it when Nana's not around.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem right.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah. He is a prince after all. But anyways, Swerve looked so fucking cool walking into the ring and just like taking it all in.
It's ridiculous how cool he is.
It is ridiculous. It is unfair that he has so much swagger in just standing still. He's just, I love it. I mean, especially to us dweebs, it's like we could never just stand there and be like, yeah.
No, you absolutely think sometimes that you're conveying that energy, and if you have some kind of independent verification, it lays that totally bare. It's like, no, of course you weren't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. This is a good thing to bear in mind when you're like, how cool am I being right now? Okay, hold on. Am I Swerve cool? And you just sort of picture him in your head. You're like, no, never mind. I thought I was cool for a second there.
Hey, didn't I look cool over there for a while? No, I thought you were farting in the corner. What were you doing with your face? What? Oh, man. Anyways, speaking of which, I had a friend after, okay, before we would go.
Oh, hold on. Here, we got some more fart stories from Teresa.
We would, okay, so before we had these shows for like a couple months, and before every show, we're standing behind the curtain in the small backstage wing area, and she, every fucking time had to fart, and what would she do? She would go face her ass to a corner, like by the curtain or something. And it would just reek and be like, what are you doing, gross? Oh, no. She's like, I thought it would stay there. And I'm like, what? What? How long have you farted in your life? When has any fart ever just been like, you know what? I'm cool over here. Never.
I feel like if she was pretty enough, then like all the people in her life told just like pretended she didn't fart. So she didn't know.
I don't know, man. All I know is, she ate a bowl of cereal before every show. I was like, you need to stop that dairy is what it is. This is your problem. Your body's trying to tell you something. And these rank ass farts before every show. No, this is not how I prepare for a performance.
Not allowed.
Did that fart energy carry into the performance?
Oh, wait. And then...
here we go. Part two. Knew it was coming.
This is something else, because when you said fart energy, I just forgot. I was taking care of one of the kids, and we went to the playground. And she likes it when I push her over my head on the swing. And so when I was doing it, I just like made a little fart sound. And I was like, fart power! You're going off fart power. And she, whom I don't understand, any kid that doesn't like this kind of stuff, was like, no. Yeah. I'm like, what? Man, you don't know. This is great. One of these days you're going to be playing around and you are going to crack your friends up. Just start talking about fart power.
Don't you shame her for not being into flatulence humor.
I didn't. This is my inner monologue that I can expose here on this faceless podcast.
Oh, that sounds like something that someone should be arrested for, exposing their inner monologue.
Some people definitely should. Anyways. All right. Back to the match. Mark Briscoe versus Swerve. And now I'm... This was another tournament match.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And
another sort of example of, you know, like Briscoe doesn't have any wins at all, but you know, he's going to come out of this thing. People are going like, oh yeah, but like that guy can go like in the ring, and like, you don't respect that.
Yeah. This was a pretty great match.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely what you expect from both of these guys. Definitely, luckily, no blood. I'm very thankful that I don't think the Continental Classic matches will have any blood in them. And I'm grateful for that because, you know, we really got a lot in recent.
Yeah. And we don't want to take any more of Swerve's. He's put enough out there already.
He's still trying to get back up to 9 pints.
Oh, man. You look at, like, his body and sort of scrutinize it, like, trying to find, like, evidence of the match that he went through. And you're like, is that all? There's some tape on his shoulder?
Yeah, for real. I'm like, God, I would have imagined he's all scarred up all over the place.
Well, he did post some pictures from that night.
I have to look that up.
Yeah, and you're like, oh God, that is just that skin is just
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why people do it, why they agree to it, because like then you're just like scarred up. Do they like that?
Chicks dig scars, right?
Maybe they like it.
Same thing.
Please confirm.
Maybe they like it because they look tough around their friends that have a lot of scars. I don't know.
As someone who has one scar from when he didn't listen to his mother and smacked his head while riding a bike, he didn't wear his helmet. I have no idea. I am not the person to ask. I am not cool in any way, least of all, awesome scars.
I have a couple scars on me that I just am glad are not like super ostentatious. Like I've got one on my thumb and I've got one on my forehead that both are fairly small and have faded with time. I don't think they ever, even after Harry Potter had his lightning scar on his forehead and I had a scar on my forehead, like that popularity didn't transfer to me.
Hmm. Yeah, I've got some scars, but the deepest one is like on my chin. You can't really see it because it's like on the under part.
Is that why you grew the beard?
Yep, that's why I always put on a beard.
Makes sense.
If I can't grow one, I definitely find one to put on. Right, kitty cat made out of kitty furs. Yep.
Oh boy.
Meow, 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 meow. We give her a brush and then take all the furs out of the brush. Boop, boop, boop.
You know you it's can like
felt that way.
Oh yeah.
But you have to have one of those spinner things that helps turn it into thread.
You mean like rims?
No. You know what I'm talking about? It's like the thing that Sleeping Beauty pricked her finger on.
Oh, you mean a Wheel of Fortune?
No.
Like Pat Sajak. This is spinners.
The thing that the trapped princess or whoever it was had to take hay and turn it into gold thread using a special spinner thing.
Yeah, what was that's her name?
You know what I'm talking about? The spinning thing is like a wheel. Yeah. Well, it can turn
spinners on wheels.
It can turn
like go when you drive, and
it can turn things into thread. Anyways, but like you have to have a lot of like bulk felt or something like that, which is basically just for.
I think we all know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, anyways, it doesn't matter. What are we talking about? We're talking about the match.
I think we're talking about looms, but go on.
Loom, it's just called a spinning wheel. No, not a loom. Not a
spinning
loom.
Spinning wheel. Spinning wheel is all it's called.
A spinning wheel.
Yeah, a spinning wheel. Okay, thanks.
Seems like it should have a real name.
Yeah, it should be called something else. But anyway, a loom is something you actually weave on. All right, so Mark Briscoe, he's great. But
yes,
Swerve is in all of our hearts, and Swerve wins. And it's appropriate that he wins because I want him to go the distance. I want him to go win it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's all alone.
I hear what you're doing. I hear what you're doing, and I'm refusing it.
No, I understand. I understand. A lot of us want to forget the 90s. Not me. I'm still in it, baby.
All right. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, yeah. I mean, it's a fantastic, fantastic match.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then we have Mariah May talking to Renee Paquette. And look, this started out much better than any of her previous introductions have been. But then it took this weird, bad nosedive out of nowhere. And then it just like was terrible.
It felt kind of disjointed to me because it started out like as you say, like, and I thought you would like it better because it didn't have like any of the like squeaky airhead quality that you had been critical of. But then it felt like there were kind of two disparate promos that met in the middle, like with this seam where it, like there, or it was sort of like a record needle jumping over a bad spot.
Yes.
And then from that point, it was definitely a little worse.
Yeah, she's like, I don't even remember what it is that she said. It was like Renee said something. She's like, no. She just was like, no, that's not it, or something like this. And then all of a sudden, she was the character I don't like. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know what the fuck this is still. I don't know who she is still. I was getting excited that it seemed like she wasn't going to be this, you know, weird airhead fangirl thing, but it all just sort of was disappointing, so I middle it.
Yeah, same. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to what's going to happen, but I do not care for what's happening now.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I middle it as well. Although, like, I don't, it's not like a super harsh middle.
Yeah. Right, Ramona, we're not harsh with middles. All right. So then we have Samoa Joe in the ring, but then and we're waiting for MJF, but the lights start flashing.
Ooh.
And then devil masked men show up. Then the lights go out and nothing has happened to Samoa Joe. But then we see the devil mask come on the screen and we see that backstage, somewhere backstage, they've beaten up MJF and he's laying on the floor. And so Samoa Joe runs towards the direction to help MJF.
I thought that was really very interesting that he did that because I was like, you know, his relationship with MJF is transactional. It's not as though he has an affection for him that would make him come to his aid. I guess the logic would be he wants MJF to be okay so that he can wrestle him himself. But it still was kind of funny to me.
This is part of what I was saying earlier about like Samoa Joe is in a weird place because, yeah, it is supposed to be transactional, but like the emotions that are on display, you know, like sort of feel friendly or convivial or
they definitely even have paternal, respect for like each other. So I think
convivial, that's professor.
Look, I got words. I'm going to use them. So, yeah, like when he's like running out here, it's like, is it to save your investment, you know, because this is all about the pride of beating a 100% MJF at a pay-per-view later, or, you know, like, but you're running, like, Scrooge McDuck doesn't do that when, you know, or I mean, maybe Scrooge McDuck does, but Elon Musk doesn't. When someone takes a dime from him, you know, he doesn't go running off like that with that kind of emotion.
It's his lucky dime.
Uh-huh. That's why I
number one dime
felt the need to rescind my Scrooge McDuck because I'm like, okay, no, he probably does. Yeah. And Scrooge McDuck, for the record, could kick MJF's ass. I think we all know that.
Whoa.
We all have to acknowledge that. Yeah.
I mean, he's taken on a lot of different types of characters over the years. So he's a tough guy.
But this is weird. And then the lights come up and that's it. And there's no resolution. Like, obviously we weren't going to get, you know, like, find out who the devil was, but the fact that, like, we were building to some sort of match, some sort of, you know, wrestling match in a wrestling show, and then just nothing. And the story doesn't progress anymore. I hated this segment.
It's pretty lame, because, like, we thought we were moving forward in some way, but what we got was more of what we've been seeing for months, and so it's kind of annoying, because it's not like a twist in the story that's more interesting, right?
Yeah.
It's a twist in the story that's just like, you just, the whole audience just got Rickrolled. Sweet Tony Khan was tempting you with some sort of resolution or further progression, and no, we're still at zero. So yeah.
It's a delicate balancing act, because you don't want to give it up, but at the same time,
never gonna give you up.
You gotta give something. Yeah,
never gonna let you down.
And if it's Rick Astley, I'm okay with that.
Never gonna run around.
If it turns out that Rick Astley is the devil, I'm okay with that.
Look, if Rick Astley is the devil, they better fucking play Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh yeah, I don't think there's any way they couldn't.
I mean, I would love that so much.
Do you think that's a cheap song? I bet it's not.
I'm sure it isn't. I do know that the Foo Fighters covered it. Like, Dave Grohl started playing Smells Like Teen Spirit. Like, he started the guitar riff, and the audience is going insane. And then they break into Never Gonna Give You Up instead. And Rick Astley showed up. that's good. YouTube. There's so many things that I would miss out on in life if it wasn't for YouTube.
Oh boy.
All right. So, okay. Where are we with this? I middle it.
I doubt it.
Really?
Yeah.
I only middle it. I think that, like, there were some aspects of it that were all, I think I was bothered by the idea of the devil's men getting booked in the match anyway. Like, what is the logic of that? How does that avoid finding out who the devil is when you go through the booking process of his men? But I don't know. I wasn't offended by the segment.
Okay. Then we have a Mox promo. Now, this is funny because he wasn't facing the camera, and you hear someone clear their throat, and then he looks to that person, and then he looks at the camera. And I don't know if that was fake or not, because, like, he does do those weird, like, promos where, you know, he's supposedly doing something else and then just, like, is doing a promo. But I think it was real. I think he actually wasn't paying attention, or was, you know, just distracted for a little too long, and someone had to remind him, like. But anyways, he cut a great promo.
Mr. Moxley. 15 seconds of curtain, Mr. Moxley.
Paging Mr. Harmon. Mr. Harmon, there's a telephone call for you at the front desk. Anyways, he's talking about Swerve, blah, blah, blah. It was a great promo. I gave it a thumbs up.
I mean, it was a great promo, and then Swerve came in.
Oh, that's what it was. I was like, wait, why did I write Swerve? That's right.
And in my notes, it's here comes Swerve. Oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, like, they're going,
they're nine and nine. They're basically completely tied in this Continental Classic.
Someone's going to lose next week.
And I'm afraid it better be Mox, is my opinion on that.
Really? I agree. But also, like, just because someone gets the highest point total doesn't mean that they're going to win the whole thing. So
no.
I kind of worry that that's a sort of a prize you give someone knowing that they're not going to win. Like, okay, you're going to lose the tournament, but you'll still have the highest point total, and then you can go around telling everybody that, you know, you got the highest points.
Yeah, they go through the round robin like round, and then they enter a knockout round.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, the highest scores then go to the semis. So, yeah.
Interesting.
But nevertheless, all of that was great. Just love, love, love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to that match. Thumbs up.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
We've got Ben, and I forgot to write down his last name. I think it was Mankiewicz. Who is the guy from Turner Classic Movies. And he introduced Tony Storm. I thought that was a nice touch.
It was great. That was a great idea. It was
fantastic. I love it.
I was really absorbed with the thought of, I wonder if he got tickets to the show. I wonder if he wanted to see the show, if he watches it now because he wanted to see his segment on something like this, which is so totally outside of anything he's done before.
I mean, it's clearly on a green screen, so he did it at home. It's not like he was backstage doing, you know.
Yeah, this, I know. But these are my thoughts.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
like, you know, he's probably like, oh, yeah, hey, that's an interesting idea. I mean, how many people tap him to do random stuff? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably not many.
It occurred to me, like, oh yeah, Turner Classic Movies. He's just part of the Warner Brothers Discovery family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, now that we're all together, I have this contract that you signed in blood. You must do the things we ask of you.
You know, his intro was great. Like with the exception that he expurgated the tits out.
Right, but I was like, look, he probably can't because of some weird thing, you know, where he has to protect his image because of Turner Classic Movies. So, like, if that clip ever got out, maybe he would be worried that, like, you
know. If this broadcast clip ever got out.
Well, yeah, I mean, to his audience, if they ever saw him do it, then it would.
Oh, so you're saying that people who watch wrestling are too lowbrow to watch Turner Classic Movies at any point?
No, I was thinking people who are glued to Turner Classic Movies might be very old. And they might be the kind of people who take umbrance at swearing.
Umbrance.
Yeah, we're just throwing all the words out today. But I don't know. You know what? I haven't watched Turner Classic Movies in a while. I don't even know what they consider to be Turner Classic Movies. It could be movies that, like, we watched when we were kids, like Die Hard and stuff. You know, yes. It might not even be It's a Wonderful Life.
I feel like their window is more static than, like, oldies radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, classic rock radio is terrible because the stuff that you think from your childhood is on there in your, you know, mid-20s. It's already in the classic rock station, so it's terrible. You feel old.
Yeah. Well, anyways, so that was a neat intro. And then it's Tony Storm versus Sky Blue. I do like whatever this mist does for the women's division, it's good.
Yeah, it's like
a lot of people.
It's like a be good at wrestling mist.
Yeah, it's like, let's have a more fun character with personality and beat more ass mist. Yes. It's like, geez, then everybody should just line up for it. Don't avoid it. Don't be stingy with it.
I just wanted to point out that Ms. Storm hails from Stage 7 of Warner Brothers Studios.
Someplace I've probably actually been around.
Huh? Mm.
A stage I probably have been quite near.
That's where they filmed Casablanca, My Fair Lady, Rebel Without a Cause, The Big Sleep, A Star Is Born. That's probably why she chose Stage 7, but like,
because of A Star Is Born.
Yeah, but also, you know, the what Bill Cosby Street Show. What about Streetcar Named
Desire?
I don't think so. That's probably number 5, that trashy stage.
Oh, oh boy.
That was a good one, though.
And this was a good match.
Yeah, this was a great match. Definitely enjoyed it thoroughly. I don't really have any notes on it necessarily, but I just love Tony's shtick. And
excuse me, darling, as she's like trying shoving some staff person out of the way, trying to hit Sky Blue.
Oh God, it's just so great.
Getting on Luther's shoulders,
yes,
and throwing Sky Blue off the apron. Oh,
the shit is so like bizarre. It's opened up so many doors. Like, you know, they can really have fun and get creative and make these matches so much more interesting. It's like, this is all it is, really. When it comes down to it, they just need better characters for these women. If the characters they currently have are feeling a little stuck or not going anywhere or not clicking with an audience, they just got to do it. They got to do it.
Yep.
Because look, they shot for the moon and they landed on the moon. They did it.
Is that a reference to Tony Storm's butt? Is that what?
Okay. They didn't land amongst the stars. They landed on the moon. They did it.
I see. So it was like an Apollo 13 kind of thing.
It's like, you know, they thought maybe this will work, and it did.
It did.
So sure they need did. To do more things like that. But anyway, I thought it was a great match. Tony Storm wins. I give the match a thumbs up. But do we – oh, wait. I guess we have to include the next bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Tony wins, and then we hear Riho's music, and Riho comes out, drop kicks Tony, and then she's on the apron, and Luther picks her up so that Riho can't jump on her. So Luther's just carrying her off.
Yes, as it's is fully funny. Appropriate.
Oh, yeah.
And Riho's just like, what? Come back. Come on. Hello. Hi. It's me, first winner.
They mentioned something about Mariah May no longer being at ringside. And after Riho came out, I was like, is that a thing? Is that like a plot point? Or is that just she's just not there for some reason?
I don't remember her being there in the first place. So maybe the cameras aren't really doing much as far as highlighting that if she is there. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember noticing her in the first place either.
Yeah. So it's, they just shit the bed with women, don't they? They just don't know what the fuck they're doing. Just drive me nuts. What a bonehead thing to do. If that has been the case this whole time, and that's an important thing to note, it's so stupid. They haven't made a bigger deal out of it so that we could say, oh, Raimi's not there. Why? What's she doing?
No idea.
She preparing for something? Is she backstage watching? Why wouldn't she be here to be helpful or to watch, as she said, to make sure she can watch Tony in action?
Well, Teresa, you truly have a chameleon-like voice.
That voice is honestly scaring me.
I do so many voices that I never get to do anymore because I don't perform anymore.
You do a podcast, which is an audio medium, which means you could be doing 10 voices a night.
I mean, I could, but I'm in conversation with you guys, so it doesn't feel right.
Or are we just your characters?
Oh, wow. Yeah, has Teresa been playing all of us this entire time?
Ramona's a character. Yes, she is. Ooh, she's so chunky.
Oh.
She's like, I don't don't like that. Don't call me chunky. Okay. She's very elegant.
Wait, is elegant a synonym for chunky?
I thought.
Don't tell her that.
Rubenesque.
Second City had a song in Chicago about called Rubenesque. It was really funny. Anyways, whatever. Side note. I give this whole thing a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
All right. Then we've got a promo with Christian Cage and Adam Copeland. I'm not clear if any of this is new.
No, it's not.
Okay. Then we'll just say it was neat.
It was neat. You can move on.
We have Jay Lethal versus Jay White. It's Flight of the Jays.
Oh, God. The crowd was into it, as they should be. Like the last time there was an Adam versus Adam match, and everyone's like, both these Adams.
Yeah.
And they were doing that this time. Jay forever.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And this match was really great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I love this damn tournament because everyone in it is so good.
Like there was a Jay Lethal, Jay White match before. I don't remember it. It could have been on some other night that I don't watch. But
some other night.
You know.
The way you say that.
Fridays and Saturdays.
I feel like ordinarily they would be in different sectors of the card, but because of the tournament, they're thrown together.
Yeah. It's like I can see where it's possible just as a device to continue Jay's winning streak or something. But God, this was great. I thought this was fantastic. Such a good match. Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Same.
And again, as we were saying, and as Collar was saying, like, we just get to see so much that thanks to this tournament, you know.
Yeah, I feel like almost every single match, I can just sort of default to saying, like, this is a thumbs up match. It was a great match. There is not a whole lot of plot motion, and I don't need it.
Yeah.
We do that in other segments, and, you know, like, give me different looks.
Yeah, give me different looks. So we all thumbed this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have the final match. Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage.
Oh, Nelly.
This is what we've been waiting for, fellers.
I don't care for that at all.
Boy, you don't consider yourself a feller?
Not with the hard R, no.
Oh, God.
Is it untoward to say the R?
Yeah, it really, the way she says it, yeah.
I had a boyfriend in high school whose relatives called pillows pillars.
Pillars.
Yeah. Ugh.
I wouldn't want to sleep on
Illinois.
That.
Illinois. Pillars.
Pillars.
My pillar. You gonna fluff your pillar?
Nope. Nice. No, sir.
So this was a great match, full of drama, full of intrigue.
It's Adam getting his no, it's Christian who's getting his comeuppance from Adam Copeland.
Oh yeah, for sure. But we do have moments too where Christian Cage is like trying to break Adam's neck again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not even funny. That's how rabbits die.
What, you put them on a steel chair and stomp on their neck?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Breaking their neck. That's how people kill them. They break their necks.
Well, and dogs do that too.
Oh, dogs break their necks?
Yeah. Steel chairs? Again, it doesn't seem like a...
I mean, you're just showing your ignorance.
Yeah, apparently.
This was a lot of stuff going on. It's really great. The crazy part is when the ref is down, Shayna Wayne, Nick Wayne's mom, walks in. This was terrible. It was awful. It was not done well. God bless everybody involved. I'm sure they were just very excited and didn't know what to do. But she's trying to portray being confused as to who to hit with the belt, because she picks up the belt and she can either hit Christian Cage or Adam Copeland. Now, the announce desk said, well, Adam's the guy that hurt Nick Wayne. So then you're kind of like, oh, well, obviously she's not going to hurt Christian because Christian and Nick Wayne are like buds now. And indeed she does not. She hurts Adam Copeland, and Adam Copeland is out, 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 out. Christian Cage even picks up Adam Copeland and does some extra moves on him, and Adam's just like a doll, just being moved around, and Adam Christian moves him around a little like a bunch. And then finally, when the ref starts stirring, he then covers, and it's a very long three count, but he gets it. So
Christian, God bless these referees, because they're such troopers. Like, I can't imagine that if I was knocked out, like, even like muscle memory and instinct would move me to start doing my job again.
I feel like here's the thing. He wasn't knocked out. He was kicked so hard in the nuts that he just fell down. So
I mean, you enter unconsciousness to protect yourself.
Yes. Experiencing extreme pain, your body shuts down to protect you.
I see. I love, I mean, the audience was on fire for this.
Yes.
Oh my God. Like,
oh my God. And everybody's been Canadian waiting boys. For this. Oh, fuck yeah. Everyone's been waiting for this too. I mean, they've been teasing it for so long.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Fucking like, awesome.
And just the way he just so casually just like kicks the ref in the nuts from behind just made me happy. I like the Shayna Wayne stuff. We all knew that this wasn't going to end clean.
Right.
You have to keep this thing going. So like, okay, what's the goofiness you're going to have at the end? Shayna coming out and hitting Edge. Great. Because like, that's the thing. It's kind of like Vicky Guerrero after Eddie died. Like, she started showing up on TV. Because Vince felt bad and was like, you know what, I'm going to give Eddie's wife a job after he passed away. And turns out she's fucking phenomenal. And I think Shayna probably is going to be a really great asset going around with the patriarchy and just being terrible and / wonderful. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think this is all super fun and pointing at more fun stuff ahead.
And she probably has to be around anyway, just because Nick Wayne is still pretty much a minor.
Oh my God, that's funny.
He is 18, but he will get to walk around with his MILF mom. And who knows what sort of fun backstage segments that will spin off into.
Oh boy.
Gross.
Oh dude, if she was like a Stifler's mom character and was just like hitting on all of the wrestlers in the back, it would be super fun. Saying.
I remember my mom showing up to bring me something during lunch my freshman year in high school. And these guys were like, who is that? So that's my mom. Gross. Shut up.
Oh, Jesus. Could you imagine just like her doing that and, you know, just like sashaying away, hello, boys. And then Nick Wayne just having to be like, oh, God, mom, cut it out. Oh, my God, that's so gross.
Now that I would pay to see.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
there
funny.
Are possibilities here.
I gave this match a thumbs up.
As did I.
Same.
This was an 83% show.
Hey, hey.
It's a good show. There are a couple dips in it, but like when you have
the matches were really solid.
Yeah. I mean, you've got that tournament and you're not going to have a bad match.
Yeah. I feel like the dips were some of the things in between.
Yeah. And very sadly for me, like MJF was like one of those. His segment is one of those dips. One of his segments.
Oh, right. Well, technically, he didn't really appear in it.
No, but like
so we can't blame him.
This angle is really not working for me. Like, yeah. they missed the window.
They did. And now they got to come back with something so much better.
Yeah.
I think right now, Tony's probably scrambling. He's probably trying to hire someone. And he's like, I don't know what the fuck to do. Yeah, scrambling some eggs. Oh, man, I made the most amazing scrambled eggs for these kids for dinner because their dad said they were.
Dinner?
Yes. Their dad said, make them scrambled eggs. They love it. And I was like, okay. I made this big old thing of scrambled eggs. And one of them was like, nope, I don't like eggs. I was like, okay. Mm. And the other one was like, I'm full. And I was like, so like, nobody's going to eat these. Eggs are expensive, you kids. Anyways.
Very familiar with that feeling.
I'll eat them.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week, hopefully. Yeah, who knows? Who knows how we're going to handle the holidays? I'm going to be in London, so.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Humble TV brag so much?
No. Straight brag.
Yeah, that wasn't very humble.
I'm going to London. I'm going to London. I'm going to see
gonna be
beef eaters. I don't
at
know.
My dad's house.
In London?
Hey, maybe you could bring Calder to help do some yard work for you.
Oh, my God.
You can help me around my mom's house. There's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
Teresa's hot mom. Not like that. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-ding.